Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning Ashari, everybody. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmas and L'Zeicho Nishmas and Mirim Fron, Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShem, and HaShem Shav, a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. So we are on page 209, please. Well, actually, in deference to Esther, we finished the top of page 210. But you did say we're going to be going back. So we are going back just a little because I didn't finish an insight that I wanted to do. Welcome. So go to the bottom of page 209, please, because I just want to share an insight that we didn't get to last time. Here's another example. You have been thinking. Stop yourself and ask, how am I able to think? With what tool do I even think about my thoughts? Did I tell you last time? I don't think I said in this class, and my daughter told me, because I think she told it to me after class. It's in a different shiur before Shabbos, that my daughter said they were learning in school, and she said that the teacher said, you think you do Ishtadlus and Hashem does the rest. That even for Ishtadlus, you need Hashem. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm doing Ishtadlus. Hashem gives me the koach to do my Ishtadlus. But without Hashem, I couldn't even do my Ishtadlus. So I couldn't even put in my effort. So ask yourself, how am I able to think? Am I able to think on my own? With what tool do I even think about my thought? I use the brain and the intelligence in my brain. Where do they come from? They're from Hashem. There's no guarantee that He will give them to me a minute from now. So here we are talking about the reality that even our machshava is not ours. Our machshava is Hashem. So I want to share with you a tremendous piece. I made copies of it for you. A tremendous piece from Iyun Tefillah, Rav Shimon Schwab on prayer. That's all. Okay, so I made copies. Here we go. We're going to read it together and I'm going to translate it. Here, I guess just take and pass one down. Take and pass. I know it's a couple lengthy paragraphs in Hebrew. We are going to be reading it and translating it together. There's more than enough, I see. So in the bracha of Shmona Esrei means literally 18. We daven three times a day. A 19th bracha was added. That was the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, but it was originally a structure of 18 brachos. It is three blessings of Shavach, followed by Bakashos, and concluding with the three blessings of thanks. The first bracha of Bakasha, the first blessing of request we ask of God, is the blessing of Da'as, wisdom or intelligence. You don't have a paper. Yes, you do. It's a blessing of wisdom or intelligence. This is the first thing that we ask. So let me just see where did I start with. Yeah. So this is Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal on the Sefer Iyun Tefillah. Okay. Shalosh brachos. So let's begin. I'm going to read and translate. Shalosh brachos harishonos, the first three blessings, v'shalosh ha'achronos, and the last three blessings. Shal tefillas ha'amida, of what we refer to as the Shmona Esrei prayer. It's called amida, which means standing, because we recite it while we are standing. Shavos b'chol ha'tefillas are equal in arvo tefillas, meaning whether you're davening shachos, parentheses, or you're davening mincha, or you're davening arvis, or you're davening basuf, or you're davening ne'ilah, the beginning of Shmona Esrei is the same, and the end of Shmona Esrei, we always end with Modim. We always end with Sim Shalom. Shall call you Moshe Shana every single day of the year, the first three blessings, and the last three blessings are the same. Aval HaBrachos HaEmtzaios, but the middle blessings, Mishtanos, are changed, B'Shabbasos, V'Yamim Tovim. So when it comes to Shabbasos, so when it comes to Yamim Tovim, we do not have the same middle three brachos, the same middle brachos, like the beginning and the end, never change. V'Nachil Be'ezros Hashem Yisprach, B'Veyor HaBrachos HaEmtzaios, Shal Yimei Hachol. We will begin our exploration and our learning with the help of God, with the clarification and the explanation of the middle blessings of the weekday prayers. Okay? B'tchila ha'yurak shteim esrei brachos. In the beginning, there were only 12. When he says 12, he means the middle blessings, because three beginning, three end would take you to 18. In the days of the Tanaim, they added a 19th blessing, which is the bracha of the mini, v'lamal shinim al si sikva, for the slanderers, let there not be any hope. V'lachein yesh lenu shalosh esrei brachos. And therefore, in the middle, we have 13 blessings, ha-mischalkos lebeis, which are divided into two sections. Sheish harishonos, the first six, sovavos al chayenu achshav. Is everyone listening? So when he says the first six, he doesn't mean the first six, he means the first six blessings of the middle blessings. The first six blessings of the middle blessings deal with or revolve around our lives now. Kodim zman ha-ge'ula. So what are they? Atachonin adam das. Grant us wisdom. Forgive our sins. Return us to your Torah. Heal us. Refa'enu. These deal with our life right now. Kodem Zman Hagula. We're not up to, you know, we're not yet talking about raise the banner for our freedom and ingathering of the exiles. We're not asking yet for the sprouting of King David. We're not asking yet that God should return to Jerusalem. First, we ask for Al Chayenu Achshav. Kodem Zman Hagula. We ask for blessing and for healing and for sustenance for our lives right now before the time of the ultimate redemption. V'sheish ha'achayros, and the last six brachos, the other six brachos of the middle blessings, misyachosos el hagu'ula. We just gave some examples, are talking about the final redemption. Okay. Now, what do we start with? We start with Da'as. It's the first of the middle blessings. We don't start with Rifa'enu. We don't start with Slachlanu. We start with the blessing for, how would you translate das? Wisdom, discernment, understanding. Terem, why? So now he's going to address, or Schwab is going to address, why do, yeah, by the way, if you're taking notes on this, you could all keep this. Terem shemivakshim imenu yisparach al tzarkenu, and I'm being serious. Terem shemivakshim imenu yisparach al tzarkenu hakilalim v'hapratim. Before we ask from God for our needs, our general needs, and our specific needs, general needs. I don't know, let us have food in the house. Let us have clothing. Let me be able to do laundry today. Give me parnasa. Before we ask for those things, anu poschim b'shavach v'hoda'a l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, we open up with praise and thanks to the Almighty, al shenasan lanu hakisharon l'chashov v'lahaskil, that he gave us the ability to think and to discern. Before you ask for anything else, we thank God. What is the blessing? Ata chonein la'adam da'as. Think about it. It's very interesting because the beginning of the bracha is not even a request. The beginning of the bracha is a statement. The beginning of the bracha is a shavach that goes along with the theme of the first three blessings. Ata chonein la'adam da'as umalame la'enosh bina. You grant man wisdom and teach mankind wisdom. The first statement is a praise of God. You grant man understanding of wisdom. Then we say, grant us from you more wisdom. Blessed are you, God, who grants discernment. So he says, before we ask for our needs, our general needs and our specific needs, we open with praise and thanks to God that he gave us the ability to think and to contemplate. Why do we start with this? Why do you think we start with this? I don't know, maybe Rifa'enu is more important. If you read ahead, so you know the answer, so please don't suggest anything. But if you didn't read ahead, why do you think we would start with this? Yes?
It's almost like you want the wisdom to know what to ask for.
Say it again.
To have the wisdom to know what to ask for.
Okay, to have the wisdom to know what to ask for. So, in other words, without wisdom, you're saying you don't even know what you need. You don't even know what you need. Are you saying you want to say something?
I was going to say a similar thing, just that you have to have some type of discernment or da'as to even be able to... It's a prerequisite for...
It's a what's the last thing you said?
It's a prerequisite for being able to...
It's a what?
Prerequisite.
Without it, a person who doesn't have da'as can't really, you know, have a conversation with Hashem. It's not possible.
Okay, so everything that you ladies are saying is correct. Because now let's look. I'm in the second paragraph, fourth line, second word, right? Is it the same on your handout? Yes. Second paragraph, fourth line, second word.
Umi.
Okay, after the comma. Umi shara'a af pam, adam shayatza mida'ato rachman alitzlan. Anyone who has ever seen, even once, a person, it literally means who has lost their mind, shayatza mida'ato, He has no understanding or no wisdom. He lost his mind. What?
From someone who drank.
Someone who?
Drank.
He doesn't mean that.
He's talking about a temporary thing. He's talking about it.
He doesn't mean that. He means a person who literally has lost their mind.
Right.
That's a temporary state of being. If a person's a permanent alcoholic, then yes. But that's a different illness. He literally means someone who has lost their mind. There are, Rahman al-Atsan, people who are so mentally, completely incompetent. In a sense, they have lost their mind. Rachman al-Itzlan, nochach l'das, shem mikol hamatonos hatovos, shechonein HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'min ha'enoshi, harei hamatana hachi chashuva, If someone asks you, what's the most important blessing in your life? You might say, my children have appropriate shidduchim. My grandchildren and children should be healthy. We should have parnasa to buy food. We should have a roof over our heads. We should have shalom bayis. What is the most important thing you need? If you don't have das, you can't acquire anything else. You can't go to work and do your job properly to acquire parnasa to buy food. You don't know how to be mishadech for your children. You might not know, Rachmatzan, how to raise your children. Very often people with mental illness raise children who themselves are not well because the first thing you need, what's the first bakash are we daven for? Before rifa'enu, before slachlanu, before baruch aleinu ashana zosotova. So let's translate. It was a long sentence and I didn't translate it. I'm aware I didn't translate it. Whoever sees someone who has literally lost their mind, may the Almighty save us, Rechman Hatzlan, God should have mercy. No chachle das, shemikol hamatanos hatovos, shechonein HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mina anoshi. You become aware of the idea and the reality that from all the good presents that God has granted in His kindness to humankind, Harei hamatana hachi chashuva. Look at those words. The gift that is the most important. He doesn't say it's very important. He says it's hachi chashuva. Ki koach hasecha v'hamachshava. If we see, Rachman Tzan, an older person who suffers from dementia, if a person has lost their mind, they cannot go and acquire anything else. The chi chashuva, the matana that is the most important, is the power of thought and reasoning. Ella shemitoch hergel ein ish sam al lev lahakir tova lechonein hadas. We become so accustomed to the fact that our minds work. So I know how to dress. Why does a homeless person or a crazy person, I don't mean in a negative way, a person who's lost their mind, not necessarily know how to dress for the weather? Why do they not know how to go to work? Why do they not know necessarily how to feed themselves? Because you become so used to the fact that our minds work appropriately, we don't even pay attention to recognize the goodness to He who grants us the discernment. What's wrong?
No, we're saying that, you know, a homeless person will put 100 layers even in the summer. They don't, you're right, they're not.
That's exactly what Rav Schwab is saying. That without the most important gift, which is discernment and the faculty of reasoning, you can't have anything. So what's our problem? We become so accustomed to the gift of da'as, mitocha hergel. We're just, it's habitual. Of course I can wake up and I could think, and I know what food to make for Shabbos. I know what to buy. How do I know how to work my washing machine? How do I know how much detergent to put in? How do I know how to wash the dishes? What temperature to do? I'm not making a joke. This is all reasoning and thought. Never mind more complex reasoning. Ein ish sam alif. Lahak yer tova. We don't even pay attention to the fact that how blessed and good. We don't recognize the goodness to He who grants understanding. So when you have kavana by rifa'enu, and we have kavana by shema koveinu, atachonein lamda as. I don't know if I pay it the same degree of attention as please bring Mashiach. But without this, I don't even know what Mashiach is. I can't even understand. Vilachain, yes.
This is very, I mean, my father had Alzheimer's and he suffered with it for a long time. And it's when you don't have DAS and that executive functioning, when that goes, it's like, and when the family,
you don't even know what to say. It's such a tragedy.
It's horrible. It's a horror show. It really is.
So that's exactly what Shimon Schwab is saying. V'lakein tiknu anshei knesses hagedola. Liftoach behodah, and therefore, when the sages of the great assembly established the structure of the Amida prayer, they chose to open with thanks of Atachonein la'adam da'as. More than any other blessing, we begin with this: Amatnas haseichel, for the gift of reasoning, wisdom. So he goes to the next point, which is very beautiful. We say about God, He is Atachonein La Adam Das. You grant to man understanding. Chonein. Look at what he says next. Vishoresh chain. Hu milashon chinam. What does it mean, ata chonein la Adam Das? You grant man understanding. So, if you identify the root as ches and then nun, that is also the root or part of the structure of the word chinam. What does chinam mean?
For nothing.
Free, for nothing. Nechama Lebowitz used to stay at a totally different camp, Havdil, Rav Freifeld Zatzal, both very great in Torah, but both, of course, very, very different. Rav Freifeld Zatzal also used to say this. Rabbi Abutzal Shasham used to say also, people think I deserve it. And she would say, Lo magia lachem klum. We think I deserve, I need, I want, I have, I'm entitled. Lo magia lachem klum. You deserve nothing. What is chonein? Baruch Hashem, chonein hadas. Shoresh chein is from chinam, which means free. Shahadas matnas chinam hi. We have to appreciate that God is giving us a free gift. And now the question becomes, what do we do with the free gift we've been granted? That God gives discernment, understanding, and wisdom to each and every individual from humanity. Even if that person is not worthy. And even if he is not worthy. Kedai and roi, how would you translate those two? If he's not worthy and if he's not deserving. Look at that. Even if he uses his da'as to sin greatly in his great wickedness. By the way, you're not only talking about here a most extreme example, like a Hitler, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. I use my da'as to talk Lashon Hara, let's say. Okay? So God is granting me a gift of da'as. He continues to grant it to me. I can make a coherent sentence. I know what I'm talking about. I know who I'm talking to. I know why I'm saying it. While I'm sinning, harbei lefsho begodol rishoso. While I'm sinning, God continues to grant me the das. Yes?
But also without das, we wouldn't have bechira, the ability to make a choice.
You're right. So what are you saying?
So we need to have das. In order to
be human beings.
Or to be held responsible for our actions.
Okay.
Someone who doesn't have us.
So that's why Hashem in his great wisdom gives it to us.
Like you say, maybe Eva or whatever. But
That what?
If someone who doesn't have us, let's say, misbehaves or does something against the Torah, or we're not...
They're not held accountable right. Because it's like a tipesh or a katan.
Like we can't, like the debate that we have with our Yetzirah or Yetzer HaTov is, I think it's through Das, right?
So that's why Hashem gives us the Das, right, but sometimes it becomes, we put ourselves in a quandary situation because while He's granting us the Das, we don't always choose to use it appropriately. You're right, that's Bechir, it's totally my choice. You're 100%.
I mean, we might use the Das to find a strategy to be able to, let's say, rationalize doing something wrong. So we're using our da'as for something not good, but that's why we're held accountable.
Okay, yeah. And that's why he says a few times, mi min ha'enoshi, human beings. Because when you think about it, animals obviously have a certain level of intelligence, but they go much more by instinct. They don't have intelligence to choose. They're totally instinctive. We're not. So sometimes, like he says, we choose it to sin. While we choose to sin, while he's continuing to grant us the da'as, v'gam mora al hayos koach ha'hiska matnas ruchani. And it also teaches us about the koach of the seichel, the power of reasoning and wisdom. It leads to matana ruchanit. It is a matana ruchanis. It is a gift in spirituality. Thank you. Like Rav Shamsher Rafal Hirsch teaches. Okay. So, and also Bayar Shem Panavelecha Vichuneka, which is in the brachos of Metzim Parshos Naso from Midbar. Birkas Kohanim, Yivrecha Shem Vishmerecha is Gashmias, Yar Shem Panavelecha Vichuneka is blessings in Ruchnias, Yisa, Vyasem Vichasham, he should be called Vishkaso. So we see here that without Da'as, what would we have? Absolutely nothing. We would not be able to acquire anything. And therefore, it's the first thing we ask for. What does this all fit in? This last paragraph could not have said it better in the Sefer. Here's another. Was your hand up, Shani?
Well, finish your thought.
Okay, my thought was just to finish reading this, which is why I brought you the bottom of page 209 back in our book, which is why I bought you this piece in the first place. Because stop yourself and ask, how am I able to think? With what tool do I even think about my thoughts? I use the brain and the intelligence. Where does it come from? They are from Hashem. There is no guarantee He will still give them to me a minute from now. So this is, you know, sometimes if you're trying to remember something and you can't remember and you say, Hashem, please help me remember. So that's when you remember that your das comes from Hashem. But like Rav Schwab says, too often it is just from the habituality of men in using our das that we don't even stop and say, wow, this is really from Hashem, and this is one of the best presents. Hachi chashuv. Yes.
So, when we say Berachas HaShachar, that's the first bracha.
Both say Mesach Mimina.
So we repeat the bracha again for Shimon Esrei before we ask more questions.
So you're saying the first bracha in the Berachas HaShachar is for discernment and wisdom,
yeah,
corresponding to the first bracha in Amida?
Yeah.
Oh, Sim Mesach Mimina. Lavchim Be'am Avena. Very nice. Very nice. Beautiful. So you see the same thing in the Berachas HaShachar. The first blessing we bless.
You can't even use your seichel without making a bracha on it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The first thing we bless your Ribono Shel Olam for by the Berachas HaShachar is the discernment and understanding. Very nice. Anything else? Eventually, top of page 210, you will attain an inner sense that all you have are tools that belong to the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay? Let's go. And it's a beautiful piece. You're welcome to keep this. I don't even think it has Seamus on it. So if you want it, please take it. If not, you can go back to me. Anger and distress come from a sense of ownership. How does one measure if he has, in fact, attained this feeling? What feeling? Everything is from Hashem. I have nothing. There are many tests, page 210. But we'll provide one simple guideline. A person suffers some kind of loss. Someone once taught me something very good. A friend, she taught me, maybe I said here, I don't know, not in the context of Shir, but it reminds me of this. I don't remember what, maybe it's when my washing machine wasn't working. We moved into my house 2.5 years ago. For a month, I didn't have machines in the house. I don't know. She said, don't cry over something that won't cry for you. Mm-hmm. She taught me that. And it stuck in my, it's fabulous. Wow. It's mamish fabulous. A dress got ruined, a sweater, you lost something. Gosh, she taught me, don't cry over something that won't cry for you. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's a challenge, and sometimes we're really attached to Gashmias, but that's a reflection of the guf, not a reflection of the neshama. That's what she said. So a person suffers some kind of loss. He does not mean here, by the way, as you will see from his example, he's not talking about Rahman al-Tzlan, the ultimate loss. He's talking about if you suffer loss in something Gashmias. Okay? Normally, he will get angry.
Fortune of money. I mean, it's an easy thing to say that.
I really cannot hear them.
For a sweater, it's one thing, but if someone loses their fortune.
You're right. So I'm not telling you I'm not that madriga. I'm telling you what someone told me. I didn't say I don't get upset. I said that it's a madriga to understand. If you think of the gedolim, could understand the madriga that we're talking about. In fact, it's funny you brought that up, because I was just preparing a shiur today for next week. One second, please. I was mamish preparing a shiur today for next week, and I believe it's Maseches Tainis Chof Aleph Tainis 21:8, if my memory serves me correctly. Right, the Gemara tells the story about Nachum Ish Gamzu, and why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Because one time the Jews sent him with a treasure chest to take precious stones and gems and all kinds of worth to the emperor. And he stated, I was mamish praying this morning, this is so bashar that you just said that. Because this is exactly, okay, I didn't say I'm on that level, but there is such a level. So the Jewish community sent him to send gift to the emperor, and he stayed in an inn overnight. He went to sleep, he left his box next to him, and in the morning he continued on his journey, unbeknownst to him.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to him, the innkeeper stole the gems and the precious jewelry and the money, and he comes to the emperor, and he gives the emperor, and the emperor opens, he says, the Jewish community has come with a beautiful gift, and the emperor opens the gift, and it's a box of dirt. The emperor says, the Jews are mocking me, they sent me a box of dirt, and he's severely punished, and he says, Gamzu Latova. This was someone who didn't cry over all their wealth, even if it meant his life might be taken. I didn't say I'm on that level. But there is such a level. So Eliyahu HaNavi appeared before the emperor in a certain form to defend Nachum Ish Gamzu. And he said, the Jews are not mocking the emperor, just like Avram in his war with the four kings and the five kings used dirt and it turned into weapons and it chased away the enemy. The Jews are offering you this same dirt. And the Gemara says there was a certain, it's crazy, I literally prepared this morning, otherwise I would not have known this Gemara. So, and then you commented, that's so basher. And then he said, maybe this is the same dirt. And the Gemara says there was one province that the emperor could not conquer for many years. He took the dirt with him to battle and they conquered the province.
Oh, okay.
But why? Maybe something, okay, I'm not making this. This isn't like a fairy tale. Okay, and everything that Chazal tells is Torah min shamayim, an absolute emes. Rav Salavejik says all the stories from Chazal are absolutely true, even if they seem like a kind of joke, it's true. So why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Because everything said was Gamzu Torah, but the Gemara specifically gives the example that he was carrying a box full of precious gems. So I'm not saying I wouldn't cry if that happened to me. I probably would cry if it happened to me. But there is a higher Madrega if he was able to say, this doesn't belong to me, it was Hashem's, I'm not going to get angry, I'm not going to cry, I suffered this kind, some kind of loss, it's divine providence. I'm not saying I'm there, but there is such a Madrega. How does one measure if he is in fact attained this feeling? There are many tests, but we'll provide one simple guideline. A person suffers some kind of loss. Normally, he will get angry, unless he has worked on emunah and believes everything comes through divine providence. It is true, of course, that such emunah will help. It's interesting, he says, the first thing you'll do will become angry. The Ramban, in his famous Igeris, Nachmanides, in his very famous Igeris to his son, the first thing he cautions his son on, I'm sure you know this, Shema b'ni Musar v'icha b'al titosh toris imecha. Listen, my son, to the chastisement of your father, and do not reject the teachings of your mother. Titnaheg tamid l'daber kol dvarecha b'nachas. L'chol adam v'chol eis. Get accustomed always and consistently to speaking all of your words with pleasantness to every person and every time. U'bazet tinatzal min hakas. He doesn't say first you will become humble. He doesn't say it will lead to shalom. The first thing he says is that if you speak pleasantly at all times, with this you will be saved from anger. Shehi mida ra'a lahachti b'nei adam. Anger is a terrible character trait which causes man to sin. As the sages say, kol ha'kois kol minei gehenem sholtim bo. Everyone who becomes angry, all sorts of gehenems rule over him. Shanemar haser ka'as milibecha, remove anger from your heart, v'haver ra mibisarecha, and remove bad from your skin. Ein ra el gehenem. So if you remove anger from your heart, you'll be saved from gehenem. Well, this is art scroll, Rabbi Avram Chaim Fur, on the Igeres HaRamban. The pasuk says in Kohelas, do not be hastily upset. Al tivahel beruchacha. This is so funny. Last night I was giving an in-depth shiur on Megillas Esther. It's like text-based. I feel like I'm in high school. We all have a malbim. It's really cool. Navi with malbim, and we're literally going through every pasuk. Even Ezra, Rashi, malbim, Gemara, other commentators. It's very cool. But I can't believe this word just came up again. Vayivahel es tamrukeha. So I didn't know what it meant. So Rashi says on the Megillah, when she is in the house of Haggai, Sri Samelech, Shomer HaNashim, she's in the house of Haggai. So it says, Vayivahel es tamrukeha. So they sit for 6 months in the perfumes and 6 months in the oils, and they have all kinds of makeup before they go to the king. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Vayivahel es tamrukeha? Haggai was mizarez umimaher, with alacrity and hurriedness, he brought Esther what she needed before, what was needed for Esther, I should say, she didn't need or want anything. What was needed for Esther before for the other woman. And I didn't realize when I was preparing for the shiur, but I mamish realized mid-sentence that I should have known what vayivahel meant, because I realized I said to the woman, wait a minute, bibihilu yatsanu mimitzrayim. Rashi says, mizarezu mimeher, he had alacrity, he was hurried. If I would have remembered in preparing, bibihilu yatsanu mimitzrayim, in haste we left Egypt, then I would have known that Haggai in haste prepared her spices. That was last night. What's the pasuk I just read now from Kohelas, Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes? Al tivahel buruchah. Here comes the word again. Do not be hasty with your spirit to become angry. Because anger lingers in the bosom of fools. Interestingly, related to what we just learned, the next sentence in the Sefer says, one cannot conquer anger without wisdom. You might think you could say you wouldn't conquer anger without patience. Can't conquer anger without tranquility. You cannot conquer anger without wisdom. Wise men throughout the ages have offered practical techniques to maintain self-control. Quoting from a sefer called Reishis Chachma, set aside a sum of money that you will give away if you allow yourself to become angry. Be sure the amount you designate is sufficient to force you to think twice before you lose your temper. So in other words, if today's day and age, let's say someone does this and they say, I'm going to give away a penny every time I become angry, so it's really going to have absolutely no bearing on that person's self-control. If someone has enraged you, try to avoid looking at him in the eye while your anger is intense. In this way, you will more easily control your rage. Rav Menachem Meiri relates the following story. There was once a righteous king who had one major flaw. He was angered very easily. To overcome this tendency, he wrote three lines on a sheet of paper, and he had a servant show it to him whenever he became angry. What were the three etos he gave himself? The first line read, "Always remember you are merely a creature. You yourself are not the creator." The second line, this totally relates to our learning and everything we're reading in the Sefer. The second line, "Always remember you are flesh and blood, and eventually you will perish. You are a creature, not a creator. You are flesh and blood, and we will eventually perish." And three, "Always remember that there will be mercy for you in the future only if you have mercy on others." Attaining self-control requires great discipline. It would be a mistake to think a tzaddik is of necessity a naturally mild-mannered person. The Chavetz Chaim, for example, worked constantly to improve his character. I'm continuing to quote from the Sefer, Igeres HaRamban, put out by Eretz Yisrael. He struggled. He's talking about the Chavetz Chaim. He struggled, prayed, reflected, refined his midos until they were sterling. A Talmud once hid under a bench in Shul, hoping to observe the Chavetz Chaim at night. When midnight approached, he opened the Holy Ark and he prayed to Hashem to help him overcome his feelings of anger. Then he quotes, I'm sure you know the famous story of Moshe Feinstein that they said to him later in his life, you're such a calm and patient person. And what did he reply?
He worked.
I've been working for years to attain this midah. And the very famous story of Ramosha, which he tells over, that he had a brand new set of shas, and someone came in and spilled ink all over the page. The students stood up in shame. Rosh Hashiva returned, and he did not say anything. So, interestingly, that he says, first of all, you have to avoid anger, but to avoid anger, we need wisdom. So we all go back to square one. Without das, what do we have?
Nothing.
Okay, so normally he will get angry, but if you're like Nachum Ish Gamzu, and you don't cry over things that won't cry for you, I'm not saying I'm there, and you recognize that this is from Hashem, if you believe and you have emunah and everything comes from divine providence, one second, then even if I lose something, I know absolutely that Hashem wanted me to lose it because I don't own it in the first place. Yes?
Rabbi Shraga Silverstein?
I know that name. Why? Where's
Mechala.
From where?
Mechala.
Mechala.
Remember the...
He
passed away a short while ago. Years ago.
He was a teacher there?
Yeah. Remember, he was very skinny with the beard.
I don't know, but I definitely know the name.
He spoke about the Marlboro Man, searching for the Marlboro Man. It was a whatever. You remember. Hmm. Okay, so I was fortunate that he had a sabbatical from Israel for a year.
He had a sabbatical, yeah?
Yeah. So he was my teacher in 10th grade in TAG.
Wow.
And at the end of every single class, he would say, "And what do we now know? We still know nothing." And he said it like that every single day. "And what do we now know? We still know nothing." He said it like that every day.
I don't remember, but I knew the name as soon as you said it. He graduated Brooklyn College. Then he went to Israel, universities in the United States and Israel. Wow. Thank you. But, according to what we have been saying, there should be a completely different perspective. It will be as if one walks on the street and you see a cup. I'm in paragraph 3 on page 210. You see a cup that was knocked over. Its water has been spilled. Okay, so let's say you're walking in a public domain and you happen to see on the floor a cup of water and the water spilled. How are you going to feel? Who cares? This has no bearing on my life. I couldn't care less that there's a cup. I mean, it made me feel bad for the environment. I'll pick up the cup. I don't want there to be litter. I'm not going to be upset that the water in the public domain spilled. He inquires about it. He's told the water rained in the cup 3 days ago. It doesn't belong to anyone. Of course, you're not going to be upset that the water spilled. But if a person is at home and he has brought some drinks and they spill, and you can't obtain more because it's Shabbos, and those are the only seltzer you had the whole Shabbos, you'll naturally become somewhat upset. I still remember, it goes back so many years ago, Kolbe Mendel and Yossi Yishran Hashem Yinkom Damam were killed many years ago. They were stoned to death. They skipped school. They were hiking behind their home in Tekoa. They were stoned to death in a cave. One of the prisoner releases, Sherry Mendel protested with a sign that said, "I am glad my son's murderers were not found." Now, there was an article in the Jerusalem Post. I mean, this goes back a long time ago. If you Google what year was he killed, please. So, if you don't mind. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post, and his mother was speaking about her son, Kobe. He was 13 years old. Him and his friend were 13 years old. And
2001.
When?
Yeah. May 8th, 2001.
That long ago?
Yeah, I knew it was about around that time.
20 years? I mean, that's...
May 2001.
It went very fast.
Yeah.
Not for that.
Wow.
Not for
wow.
Not for them.
Hashem Yikom Damo.
Not for them.
It's
not true. For them.
I'm not saying, for me, I can't believe it was that long ago. Let's go. Wow. Hashem Yikom Damo. So, let me just finish. So, in this article, his mother said something about Kobe, and one of the things she said about his let it go nature. And one time, chicken soup spilled all over, and it's greasy, and it's a mess, and she started to become upset. It's the only thing I remember from the whole article, and I hang on my fridge for a little while. And he said to her, Mom, relax. It's just chicken soup. That's a direct quote from the article of what he said to his mother. So it's the idea that if you found something spilled on the street, how much would you care? You wouldn't care at all. So how come when it's in our house, you feel totally different? Oh my gosh, a couple of weeks ago, we have this za'atar garlic oil that we make. And it was on the counter. Shabbos.
Oh no.
It's probably about, I don't know, 3/4 of a cup worth of oil. And I spilled it on Shabbos. It was interesting.
Wait, then what happened?
I don't know, I used a lot of dry paper towels as much as I could and dish towels to try and clean it up.
The test.
Okay. I spilled it, so Baruch Hashem, I wasn't upset anybody.
Baruch Hashem,
but,
Still a test.
Wait, let's just finish this paragraph, even though I'm not letting myself finish the paragraph, but I guess I couldn't drop myself. He can't obtain more because it's Shabbos. He will naturally get upset. Where does this feeling come from? He thinks, I brought the drinks. I wanted to drink. Now I can't. The person must grab the fact that this is not yours in the first place. I'm talking to Michal Horowitz. Not you. In addition, he must acknowledge the fact that even though they were in his possession a minute ago, like he said with wisdom, Rachman Hashem, Hashem should save us, we should spill oil 100 times and not lose our wisdom. Khalida should be a kapara. This does not ensure they will be in his possession now. That's what he said on the bottom of the last page. Just because a person has wisdom now does not mean he will have it tomorrow. On the contrary, he will realize he was only supposed to have them for a limited time. Even when he had them, it was only so that he could have a peace of mind for serving Hashem properly. Look at that, peace of mind. We're back to das. Everything come back to das. You can't be angry. You can't control anger if you don't have das. You can't know that everything's God if you don't have das. When Hashem decided they should be no longer there, he took them back. Shani, you're waiting to say something.
No. It's just the chicken soup. That's only chicken soup. Reminds me, my brother, Arif Pisap, sent us a little story that happened to him, and it was just very impactful. It's about just spilled chicken soup. We make a big, big thing of chicken soup, and we keep it for all the untip, and my brother shares it with lots of people, so he made 60 quarts of chicken soup. And it's like a lot of work, and you
need
all the prep that goes into it, and it simmers, and you baby it in 24 hours, 36 hours. So he made his chicken soup for Pesach.
Who is this he?
My brother.
Your brother.
And the next morning he goes and says, smell. He's like, the chicken soup doesn't smell good. He's like, I think it turns. Hmm? And it's devastating, all the work and the money that goes into it. And he had different people taste it. He's like, I don't know, I don't think it's good. And they all sampled it, and it was like, it's bad. You have to spill it out. So my brother said, okay, it's just chicken soup. This is what Hashem wants. There it goes. He went to go spill it into the street, and his son comes over. He's like,
who comes over?
His son, my nephew, comes over and says, Abba, I was just hit by a car. I was like, what do you mean you were just hit by a car? Are you okay? He's like, I know a car didn't see. He turned, and he wasn't looking, and he hit me. And he's like, but you're walking okay. He was fine. It was like, literally, the second after he spilled out the chicken soup and gave his car bun, it was like, what really, you know,
what was really important?
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a freaky story. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about like a chisron kis or something you spent a lot of time on, and you don't even know that that loss might be, you know, in exchange for something worse. So,
whoa, what a story.
Wow.
Completely fine.
When a person sees things this way, wow, top page 211. That's why I said we should spill oil 1,000 times and maintain our das and everything else that's important. Even though really we should not spill oil 1,000 times.
Oil is synonymous with chachma.
Oil what?
Oil is synonymous with chachma.
That's right, the light of Torah. So why did it spill? And it was mixed with za'atar and garlic.
Okay.
When a person sees things this way, he will not feel something has been taken from him. Shani, look at the next sentence.
Wow.
It was never really his in the first place. Look at the next words are, just as he feels no loss when water spills on the street. So, you know, you could feel very bad about pouring out 60 quarts of chicken soup, but when the kid comes, he says, I was just hit by a car. You're thrilled to pour out the soup because he said, please, God, take my chicken soup. I couldn't care less about the spoiled soup. Baruch Hashem for the child. So you have to realize this wasn't mine and Hashem's orchestrating. So he would feel no loss when things in his house are taken away. I'm not saying I'm on that madriga. I don't want that to happen to me. But Nachum Ish Gamzu didn't cry over the gems and the jewels. It's just the cognizance that obviously we have to be wise and you have to lock the doors and you have to protect yourself and you have to do your ishtalas. And Yaakov went back for the pachim ktanim, the small jugs, and a tzaddik is careful over all of his possessions. I'm reading the Rav Yaakov Edelstein biography. Did anyone read it? Zatzal, his brother, is Rav Gershon Edelstein Shlita, Rav Shiva Panovich, and Bnei Brak. So I believe Rav Shiva Panovich, in Bnei Brak, Gershon Edelstein, one of the Gedolim. So his brother, Yaakov Edelstein, it's a newer art school biography. And it's so interesting. Why am I bringing this up? Oh, because you have to be careful about your things. Don't take this as advice to say you should just open your doors and let everything be taken away. And I just read, he writes about how he was mapped on plastic goods and plastic cups, that a person shouldn't have a wasteful mentality. He said, you could sit at the table and someone takes one cup and then they throw it out. And then 5 minutes later, they come, it's mamish in the book. They take another cup and then they throw it. They take another cup and they throw it out. And he was very against that. He said, a person has to be cognizant that it's a matana from Hashem. It's very wasteful. And if you were writing a note on a piece of paper, this was so interesting. I was going to tell you this tonight, but we're going to get to it next time. If you were writing a note on a piece of paper, he would say, no, if it's only a few lines, you don't start from the top, you start from the bottom, so that you could rip it off halfway and you still have the top part of the paper. It was very interesting, and I have yet to read in a Gadol biography this kind of inyan about plastic cups and plates and just being concerned with our possessions. So, yes, should we go to lengths to ensure that the things in our homes are not taken away and are safe? Obviously. And we should not open our doors and say, whatever you want, come take it. But we do at the same time have to live with the mentality that it is from Hashem. And if I do lose something, there is some reason, even if I don't understand it or see the bigger picture, that Hashem determined he wanted me to have it, and now he decided it should no longer be there, and therefore he took it back when the time was right. It's a hard madriga, but it is a madriga. But a person, you all know, so the other story that I was writing, I'm going to share, I think it's in Brachos Samech, is Rabbi Akiva. He was also called David Rachman al-Tavavir, and I actually saw today that Nachum Ish Gamzu was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe.
Wow.
Nachum Ish Gamzu, the man of Gamzu Latova, was the Rebbe of, I think it's on Chabad.org, was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, of called David Rachman al-Tavavir. Everything that the Almighty does is for the good. So you know the story of Rabbi Akiva, who was traveling. He had a lamp, a rooster, what was it? A donkey. And he wanted to get lodging in the town. And they wouldn't give him any lodging, so he had to go to the forest. Again, this is not a fairy tale. This is the Gemara. I believe it's in Masachas Brachos Samech, but again, I could be wrong. I wasn't planning to tell these over tonight. So he goes and he sleeps in the forest, and a great wind comes, and his light blows out. And I think a lion came and ate the rooster. And then something happened and the donkey died. And after everything that happened, he said, everything the Almighty does is for the good. Another person would say, my only light? I would say, the rooster, my only possession, the donkey, I'm not going to travel. This is God's service. I would say it's a disaster. I would really say, what did you do? I'm stranded in the forest. In the morning, he saw that bandits had come into the town. Had the light, he was saved. Thieves. Had the light been burning, they would have seen him. Had the rooster crowed, they would have heard him. Had the donkey, what do they do, bray? They would have found this location. Because Hashem took everything away from him that was not his in the first place, it saved his life. He was able to say, like his Rebbe, everything the Almighty, the Merciful One does is for the good. When a person sees things this way, last paragraph, page 211, that top paragraph, let's just review it. He will not feel something has been taken from him. It was never really his in the first place. Just as you feel no loss when there are water spills on the street, so he will feel no loss when things in the home are lost or taken away. Everything belongs to the Creator. Shabbat Besoros Tovos, and Hashem should just help us. Vino am Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. The learning should benefit our own hands. And again, I'm talking to myself. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.